Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Well, this show is brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai Tucson. It's new. It's better than ever. And it's been completely reimagined, resulting in an SUV loaded with innovation inside and out. You go to Hyundai.com to learn more. All right. In the first half, our own Max Pattis coming in with trending topics. So he's got all the stuff that people are talking about, and we'll give you our hot takes on it. We'll do that. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Will you do one or the other? Then there's your automotive policy. Why don't you bundle them up at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your house. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could be saving when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is geico.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night! And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, SNL writer Hugh Fink. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and we'll go over some trending topics with Chris Loxamana. And now, 1 year ago, everything changed. Well, not for him, but everything changed. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice for the gun. A mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Turbo Negro.
Oh, boy.
We took some SNL bits that Hugh Fink has written over the years and gave them to Brian because he's kind of the in-house expert here. So we'll get into some of those bits.
I'm familiar with the era too. Like Hugh Fink presided over a really good era for SNL. That was right on the heels of I saw an interview with Robert Smigel talking about the sort of early to mid 90s SNL when the wheels kind of came off the later Sandler years, David Spade, you know, all those guys. Towards the end of their run, the show kind of fell apart a little bit and was struggling. And Smigel himself was like, yeah, those were not the best 22 episodes we ever produced, which is a nice way of saying that was a shitty season. And then Hugh Fink, I assume, came on the scene. I want to talk to him about this in like 95 with Will Ferrell and Anna Gasteyer and on Molly Shannon and that great cast and totally revitalized the show. Saved the show, honestly.
Well, we'll talk to Hugh about that and beyond. I was thinking about cats and dogs and not getting along.
Go on.
And, you know, you always hear, oh, you know, it's the end of the world. Cats and dogs are living in harmony and all that kind of stuff. But I'm a big cat fan.
Me too.
But I blame cats.
Oh no.
So I really think about most dogs and most cats. Okay. I'm loosely basing it on. I understand the war's on now. It's sort of Palestine and Israel, mm-hmm. but I still feel like I lean toward Israel. Yeah. I feel like Israel are the dogs, which is, if you just want to get along, we could get along, but cats will not allow it. And I'm basing it on our cat at the other shop.
Shelby,
who's always laying down on a sofa, reclining at some point, sort of having a rub my belly, kind of come hither look. Yes. But whenever I go over to rub Shelby's belly, the claws, he always swats my hand with the claws, and I realize Phil would never do that.
I don't think you can call Jews dogs in certain parts of the world. I think that's
a real
insult.
It is derogatory, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's just the analogy. Well.
I put my whole face into Shelby, and I couldn't breathe or see for the rest of the day because I'm highly allergic. Remember, it is worth it. She's still a kitten. Does that give her any leeway?
Yeah, but...
She's a cat, I guess.
I just say that the dogs seem a little more curious... And the cats have a little more spite in their veins.
Right.
So I just think, you know, I got to choose a side.
Oh, boy.
Between cats and dogs. And
choose Israel?
I do. I think...
I think
the dogs are, you know they're not all victims.
Right.
But in general, they'd like to live in harmony with cats.
Yeah, they go along to get along.
I think cats are going to permit that.
Yeah.
That's all. Just a thought. All right. We were... combing through some of the Burcham bits from 25 years ago. God, over 25 years ago. And we pulled up another one from July 1994. This is when I used to call in to Kevin and Bean. This one is titled what, Max Pata?
I believe it's called Penis and Vacuum Tips.
Penis and Vacuum Tips. All right, here we go.
Hey, great sentiment. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Bye. You've never told a caller great sentiment before, I don't think. That's a first. No, that's a first.
Do we have time for one more?
I've answered hundreds of phone calls with Bean, and that's the first great sentiment ever.
I think you may be right.
Would this be Mr. Burcham?
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Burcham, how are you?
Fellas, let me tell you, my pride is hurt.
Well, Mr. Burcham is a shop teacher in Los Angeles Unified, and I guess you're doing some part-time work in the summer, and you call us, and there's always a problem whenever you call. We know you've been injured. And what seems to be the trouble today?
It's like I got a shadow over my life.
I know.
Like I'm cursed, I'm telling you. I feel fine physically, but I hurt inside, fellas.
Well, what happened, Mr. B?
Oh, my wife picked up, took the kids, and went to her sister's place. It was all a horrible misunderstanding.
Oh, Max Pata, you're not playing the right call, I don't think. Although we can hear this call anyway, but this is... This is not... Well, we'll play this one out. This is
no,
not
no, we
the,
have it. That you're right. That wasn't...
Well, just play this one out. We're into it anyway.
Well, we have the other one. Do you want...
I understand Chris. That's why I keep saying just play it anyway.
I told you guys about the time I was putting up the Z-Flash and using the Hilti powder-actuated pin driver.
Right.
Anyway, the nail...
Oh, wait
all your
a minute.
Stories kind of get mixed.
Something happened, Max Pata.
Well, I think both... Clips you went to your sister, or your wife went to her sister's place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. So for the listeners, Adam and I listened to these both, and they both...
I didn't listen
off,
to both of them. I just listened to the
right.
first one.
Yeah, I think both of them... your wife went to her sister's place.
Oh.
So that might have been a device you used.
Oh, okay.
We're waiting.
Sorry.
There
sorry.
It is.
Go back 10 seconds now. All right, that's why I'm confused.
Took the kids and went to her sister's place. It was all a horrible misunderstanding.
Yeah, what was the misunderstanding?
Well, I told you guys about the time I was putting up the Z-Flash and using the Hilti powder-actuated pin driver.
Right.
Anyway, the nail...
All your stories kind of get mixed together, though, Mr. Burcham, to be honest.
I'm not sure I remember that specific story.
Well, you'll remember it.
All right.
You'll remember it because the nail goes in, catches a piece of number 8 rebar, and comes back at me.
Yeah, right. Now, right up the...
In my trigger finger, my arm gets lodged in my urethra.
Right.
You know, naturally, the doc says, leave it.
Sure. Your doctor always says that, by the way. The guy just doesn't believe in surgery for anything.
The guy's Mr. Hands Off. He don't want to get his hands dirty, too busy golfing.
I understand, sure.
Well, anyway, he said it would pass.
Yeah, right.
That was 2 months ago, and the thing hasn't budged.
Right.
I can't relieve myself without destroying the bathroom.
Oh.
The wizard's coming out like wiper spray.
No, we don't need this kind of detail.
Hand towels, magazines, decorative soap, nothing safe.
Oh, now please.
Listen, I'm building up to something.
Yeah. Okay.
This is about my wife.
Yeah.
Misunderstanding. Well,
so the accident isn't what you called?
No, it's not what I called.
All right, go ahead.
Now, last night, after a couple of beers, I decided enough was enough. I went out to the garage, I dropped my dickies, and I hooked myself up to the shop vac.
Yeah? Oh, now, Mr. Bertram.
Well, next thing you know, the garage door opens, and there's my wife, kid, in a van full of Weebelos.
It must have been an embarrassing moment for you.
There was just no talking to her after that.
Yeah.
But that's not why I called.
Why did you call, Mr. Bertram?
I heard about that guy got his hunker caught in the jacuzzi inlet out in Florida.
Yeah, the guy in Florida went into the swimming pool in the middle of the night and I guess was using the pool vac and got stuck. They had to call 911. It was ugly.
I got a message for this joker.
Yeah.
Hey, Florida's got enough trouble with tourism these days without help from nutcases like you.
Right.
What if a busload of Japanese had pulled up while you were humping the hot tub? Is that the way you want them to remember their trip to the States? What do you got, cramp in your head, buddy? You can't pull off a stunt like that unless you restrict the airflow to the intake valve. Usually by shoving a towel in the cleaning flap, which will be located on the pump side of the filter.
You know a lot about this.
Huh?
I said you know a lot about this, it sounds like.
I read a lot of manuals.
All right.
All right, guys.
So that's it. You shove a towel in on that side, and then you can make that work?
A buddy of mine told me that.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Always a delight, and great sentiment, Mr. Bertram.
All right.
See
you. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, now we got another one where my wife left town for reasons.
Real quick, I love the detail of instead of saying Boy Scouts, you went with Weeblos.
Always good to be specific.
I love that.
Yeah, and I do realize he could have tried to get a nail removed from his urethra of the shop vac, but there would be no explaining that to the van, the people in the van, right?
That was goddamn good radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was always the same thing. Started with some sort of problem and then went on into some fix-it thing.
That's not
and
why I called.
The automatic laugh is, that's not why I called.
I think
after all the detail you just went into for 3 minutes.
Well, thanks, Awesome Dawson.
Great.
All right, we'll play this one from April of 94. That must have been one of my first Bertram. April 94 is what it says?
Yeah, that's what
That's when I started. That was like the very, that was the very beginning of Bertram.
All right. Wait, let me.
Oh, wait.
No,
oh,
never
wait.
Mind. May of 94.
Still.
May 2nd.
Yeah, but still.
Still the right after the. Remember, I was turning 30 in May of 94. Mm-hmm. So my whole plan was I had to do something before my 30th birthday. And that's why I know this thing hit moments before I turned 30. All right. May of 94. Wife leaves town again.
All right, that's coming up a little bit later, but first it's Tuesday, and that means our favorite shop teacher, Mr. Bertram, is on the phone. Hey, Mr. B.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Man, it sounds like you got something up here right now.
Oh, well.
You sound terrible.
Actually, no, I'm in emotional pain. Fellas, I hurt inside.
What's the story?
Well, my wife went to stay with her sister.
No big surprise there, though, really, is it?
Well,
that's common, though. A lot of sisters are close, and they'll get together for a few days a year.
She lives in Nebraska.
Does she have a return ticket, or did she just go?
No, she just took off. I tell you what, I blame it on K-Rock.
Well, how do you do that?
Well, you know, last night, it started last night.
Yeah.
The wife went to her Overeaters Anonymous meeting, and I got bored, you know, so I decided to try out something, you know, that Madeline from the K-Rock sales department gave me.
What's that? What did she give you?
It's stuff called herbal ecstasy.
Yes?
She said it'd make me feel good. Anyway, I took double the recommended dose and washed it down with a fifth of apricot schnapps.
Right.
Anyway, the OA meeting broke up early. My wife and her husky sponsor walked in on me dry-humping the beanbag chair.
That is bad.
And she couldn't have been happy about that.
No. It's never satisfying as a woman to see your husband mounting a ottoman.
Although it sounds like from just past things that you've said that it's about the same sensation.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right, now, but listen, that's not why I called, fellas.
All right, why'd you call?
Well, yesterday I got a parking ticket, you know?
Right.
For parking between noon and two on a street sweeper day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the deal.
Now, you got to really pay attention to the signs in this town because they're very specific like that.
I know. Hey, it's ludicrous, though, because I parked at 145. It was after the street cleaner had already made its pass, and the bastards wrote me up anyway.
They don't care about that, huh? They just didn't want to see you there before, too.
Well, first of all, who decides these street sweepers need a two-hour window? Get these flunkies on some kind of schedule. For Christ's sake, it's not like they're piloting the shuttle. They're driving a broom! It's a big broom!
Yeah, it is.
I'm telling you, these parking enforcement guys are carbuncles on the ass of society. I cursed them in the Chevette they rode in on. And don't tell me, fellas, these guys don't have ticket quotas. Of course they do. How else do you explain a city employee actually doing his job?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know damn well if they didn't have these quotas, these guys would be sitting in the car with the engine running, smoking and eating donuts all day.
Yeah.
Don't believe me, head on over to the post office of the DMV and have a look at the city employee in its natural habitat. Guys are moving like sloths on a hot day. No quotas there, my friend.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of the listeners are saying, Mr. Burcham, leave them alone. They're just doing their job. Well, maybe they're right. And maybe we shouldn't have gone after these Nazi war criminals. After all, they were just following orders. What about this Tex Watkins? He was only doing what Manson told him to do. What about that nice lad, David Berkowitz? Isn't it his dog who we should blame? After all, it was the dog that told him to kill. These people deserve as much crap as we can dish out.
No.
I say we get rid of all of them, and we go back to parking enforcement the way it used to be. Old lesbians on three-wheel Harleys.
Yeah.
All right, fellas.
You had a lot to get off your chest today.
Well, these tickets. It's $330 for a handicap ticket.
You got one of those too?
I got one last week. I'm going to hobble myself just to get into court.
Listen, good luck with Mrs. B. I hope she turns up.
Oh, yeah, she'll be back.
How could she not?
You're such a catch. All right, Mr. Burcham, thanks.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the three-wheel Harleys and Cushmans?
They'd tap the tire with like chalk.
The chalk stick.
Yeah, they chalked. Oh, my God. You know what I'd like to? You know, there's a series. They always do those series like Great Inventors or The Men Who Changed America, mm-hmm. Who Built the Golden Gate Bridge or Who Invented the iPhone or whatever it is. We should do one where we punish people, like the guy who invented the Denver boot.
Sure.
We just punished the shit out of guys who had all the fucking horrible inventions.
That we went with.
Oh, and we tell him it's to honor him. Like, come on our show, we'll honor you. He shows up, which is...
Yeah, the Denver boot, you could get all the chalk you wanted on your tire. I used to see cars that had, like, sergeant stripes of chalk going all the way around the tire. But before the Denver boot, people would just drive away.
What I always did was I would just move, like, up, like, 4 inches, and that way you wouldn't be able to see the chalk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Didn't everybody do that?
No, Gene, I was an honest Parker.
Oh, God, you're such a weebolo.
I didn't even have, like, the truck registered in my name for, like, the first 4 years I drove around. So I didn't even know if I paid a parking ticket or had a parking ticket. But it used to be devastating.
Do you remember the terror of driving around without current tags?
Oh.
You know, like you're like, you can't go near the airport. There's cops everywhere.
But right,
like,
right.
I need to be careful. I had on a swivel.
Yeah, I the terror of driving around with a warrant. I drove around with a warrant and then eventually got arrested. But I mean, that was warrant. That was on a motorcycle.
Wait, did you have a bench warrant? How did you get arrested? Did they just come find you?
It is a Corolla Christmas classic, which is I was about 19 or 18 and a half. I was working for Hoffman Travel. They were on Ventura Boulevard. I was lamenting. I was saying to my mom I had a warrant, to my mom and my stepdad, because I thought they might pay for it.
Have you met them at this point?
I was going to say, you had 19 years of experience.
I was like, yeah, mom.
Desperate.
No, I guess if Sonny came to me when he was 19 and he was like, I have a warrant for a bunch of parking tickets and stuff, and I shall be arrested if I get pulled over, but I don't have any money to pay the warrant because I just got this job, but now I'm scared to ride my motorcycle back and forth to the job.
You work something out.
I would say, how much is it? Mm-hmm. And then I'd probably go, I'll pay it. And then every paycheck you get, you give me $40.
Right. A little garnish.
After the first $80, I'd probably forget about it and we'd get on with our lives.
Yeah.
But I laid it out to my mom and my stepdad and I said, it's Ventura Boulevard, and there's cops all over Ventura Boulevard. I got to ride my motorcycle into Ventura Boulevard every morning, and if I get pulled over, I'm going to get arrested. And my mom went, you should try Valley Heart. It runs along Ventura Boulevard, and it's a side street, but you can just go all the way down on Valley Heart. And cops are all on Ventura Boulevard. That was a Sunday night. Monday morning at 8:45, I was traveling down Valley Heart, pulled over, arrested.
It's almost like she called ahead.
Fired from my job.
Oh, my God.
You didn't hear it from me.
Jeez.
Once I got arrested, I had to go sit in the tank over at North Hollywood, whatever that precinct was. The cop let me ride in the front seat.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. That is nice, actually.
I think he cuffed me, but he said, you can ride in the front seat.
It's a real Pyrrhic victory.
Yeah. And I just pulled my motorcycle over. He didn't tow the motorcycle, which I have definitely had happen more than once. But I parked it. And then I went to the precinct. And then I sat in the tank. And then you get the phone call. I called one of my friends.
Wow.
Well, none of my friends had $600 laying around.
Barely had it between them.
But they could pass the hat between like five of them and cobble together enough. It's interesting. I never called my dad. I never called a family member. I just called Todd or Chris or somebody. They passed the hat. They got together, $600 and, 7 hours later, they got me out. And then I just paid them all back their $110.
You know who they are. They're your pallbearers.
Yeah.
Those are your ride or die motherfuckers.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting insight to parenting, which is who do you call? Like when I was in the I was in the tank and the cell or just in whatever the general pop cell they had there with the drunk drivers and everyone else. And I just remember thinking, how am I getting out of here? And I never for a fleeting moment thought about my dad or my mom or anyone who like had a checkbook or who I knew. I was like, my friends are going to figure this one out. And they figured it out and I got out and I just made my last payment to Todd 3 weeks ago.
You see your debts through.
You're an honorable man.
Yeah. So riding a motorcycle with a warrant is bad times.
Wow.
I feel like it's so easy to get pulled over. All right, let's see. Let me hit Hyundai. Ah, that's right. Hyundai, the new Tucson. Hyundai questioned everything to create the best Tucson ever. Every inch of the all-new Tucson has been completely reimagined, resulting in an SUV loaded with innovation inside and out, from design to technology to safety. Every aspect of the new Tucson has been improved and completely redesigned. It is a nice SUV. It is a lot more. It's bigger than most in its price range, and it's loaded with technology. They have a digital key, allows you to use your phone as a spare key. It's got a 10.25-inch full-touch infotainment screen as well that works very nicely, right front, dead center. LED daytime running lights stylishly hidden in the front grille. And like I said, I spent a lot of time in this car. I know cars, and Hyundai hit it out of the ballpark with this one. You learn more at Hyundai.com. All right, we'll break a little early, and then we'll bring Max Pata in to do some trending topics right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting, you want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Maxipata.
Well, he stands no more than 5'3". This puffy-haired, horny, hungry Asian pygmy. Road trips with Corolla and sleeps in a drawer. Heard he's good with the ladies, Filipino man whore. Took a school bus trip all around the state. He got a big appetite, likes to clean his plate. His real name's Loxamana, but not to Adam. So we change that shit up, now we call him Maxipata.
Maxipata, Maxipata. Maxipata.
Rock me, Maxipata.
Maxipata.
My favorite part is Filipino man whore.
Mm-hmm. I like the woman's voice.
Yeah. Is that a woman's voice?
I don't know.
Rich Banks.
Rich Banks is really talented. Who knows?
Range.
All right, let's get into some trending topics here. Over the weekend, well, actually, I'll start off with this. When you were growing up, guys, were flyers for parties a big deal? Like, did you guys get a lot of for parties, birthday parties?
There was no other way to know the party was happening.
Yes.
Wait, is this different than an invitation?
It's different in the sense that they get passed around. Like, so randoms could just get
college,
these.
Like at college, passing out flyers.
Get these flyers.
Raves, Junior, you're much younger than I am. Yeah. Raves were a big deal
in
the late 90s. Like, at the Shrine Auditorium here, flyers everywhere. There's a rave going on.
It's interesting. I was doing a podcast yesterday, and they were talking about, it was like a football podcast, but they asked me how I got into Pop Warner football, and I said, who got you into it? And I said, there was a telephone pole across the street from my house when I was 7. And it just had a stapled East Valley Trojan kind of cardboard, like, come sign up. Here's the dates or whatever. And I just got it off the telephone pole. I mean.
Damn.
I know. Not even the telephone. The fucking pole. Just the pole part.
Yeah.
I didn't even need the wires. I just walked across the street. And think about how much shit just to be on telephone poles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's how you got the word out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, growing up, I played in a lot of like punk rock bands and shows. And so that's how we would get the word out. We'd go to Kinko's and just get the brightest, neon colored paper you could find and just cut them in a four pieces.
But you asked about birthday parties. But, that's weird, right? That's extremely weird.
I don't know. I thought that's what people did back in the day, house parties.
House parties, absolutely. In college,
yeah,
never once.
Well, I kind of remember a lot of word of mouth. It was just people spread it around the school, and then they'd go, "You going Saturday to McDougal's house or whatever?" And anyway, go ahead. Those were DTR parties.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, there was a digital flyer for a party that went out last week for Adrian's Kickback. I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but so Adrian, 17-year-old kid, average high school student from East Vail, California. He made a digital flyer for his TikTok that just says he's having a kickback. It's going to be in Huntington Beach at the fire pits.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah.
Were the cops shutting down Huntington Beach?
A lot of people involved.
Yeah, so what happens, he just puts the time, 7:30.
What's BYOE? May 22nd. You're in ecstasy?
That's what I was thinking. Bring your own everything. Bring your own ecstasy.
I don't know. Kaylin, do you know? Kaylin doesn't know either. But he basically just makes this digital flyer, and he says, "Slide through the Saturday. We finna turn up." And he said, and it's just called Adrian's Kickback. And he said it was meant to be for his school, but during the week, this invitation somehow unlocks TikTok's algorithm and gets viewed nearly 280 million times.
Really?
Yeah. So now celebrities on TikTok are posting, like, "I'm going to be there. This seems to be the hot spot to go." So during the entire week, this kid's just watching his flyer go viral on TikTok. And now he's starting to get a little worried. And he's like, "Well, how about we do this? Let's change the location to this place in Los Angeles, this place called Cookies and Kicks. It's like a sneaker and streetwear store. We'll charge 40 tickets to the event. And let's change the location there." And that's what they did. So
because they heard people are flying in. People are posting, we're going to fly in from around the country to go to this event. Some people said they're driving 18 hours with a group of people to be there. So in Los Angeles, there was a line around the block. Teenagers in line said that it was going to be the party of the year. But a lot of people still went to Huntington Beach, not knowing that about the venue change. And the people that went to Huntington Beach, over 1,000 people showed up for this party.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was Caitlin, put some videos of what it looked like. Over 150 people were arrested. This is Huntington Beach, like Main Street by the pier.
Wow.
It looks like rioting.
Yeah, just
mostly fireworks.
Mostly peaceful.
This kid's party just going viral. Cop cars. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, people, it turned into a big riot.
Somebody just
people
kicked
fireworks.
Someone in the chest.
Yeah.
In a grocery cart.
I think he's asking for it, though. Yeah, he's doing like
true.
That. Yeah.
Look what he's wearing. He's asking for it.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is Huntington Beach over the weekend.
This looks like Pamplona.
Yeah, it's cars burning out, people fighting in the streets, throngs of humanity. Kind of makes you scared about the potential of this. You know what I mean? I mean, Jesus Christ. Wow.
Yeah, so it's just like Huntington Beach just they did turn up.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was the next day, though, a lot of the Huntington Beach locals came and cleaned the place up, and they were kind of embarrassed. I mean, I remember this was after the Jam in the Van show. I went and got some food, and they had the TV on at the restaurant, and a couple just walked by, and they looked at it, and they went, of course, Huntington Beach. Like, Huntington Beach is what, the Florida of California?
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. So,
well, the Huntington Beach, trying to think. Didn't the what's his name? The UFC fighter, Huntington Beach bad boy,
Tito Ortiz.
Wasn't he elected?
Yeah, like to the counselor.
Like, Camacho.
And I think he got booted. But by the way, that had to be an interesting thing. You're sitting with the Long Beach City Council, and like, we're going to boot Tito Ortiz. Okay, go tell him.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we should do it via tech. No, you go down the hall. You go tell him.
This is information that should be delivered personally.
Yeah, go tell him. I'm not going to tell him. I don't even know what he got. But the point is, look, I like Tito, but they have a UFC fighter on their city council.
Yeah.
That's who Huntington Beach is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You would if you'd perform that weekend, Adam. That would have been right by Sea Legs. We finna turn up.
Yeah,
he's such a cool guy.
Thank you. I really pulled that off. But yeah, so a viral event that who knows what will happen after. I mean, that was just a kid, like a 17-year-old kid in high school. Like, mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm also curious. I feel the same way when people stand in line for 5 hours or to buy sneakers, or they camp out to see Star Wars for 4 days. You know, it's a kind of a weird, we're living in this weird time, which is you can't take a young person and watch a movie with them anymore without them checking their phone 9 times.
Correct.
Like, they're literally look at their phone with the screen in front of them. But they also seem to have an unbelievable amount of time just to go somewhere and stand around.
Yeah.
Or wait in line.
Get in line
or hang,
in
hang out. Like,
yeah.
Kind of, which is it? Is it short attention span? Is the phone enabling everyone to stand in line because we can conduct our business?
Yes.
I think that's what it is.
And
yeah.
I have to tell you, it was such gut check time this weekend, and I was so deeply ashamed. And it was a very powerful moment that I will probably remember, forget by next week. But I've been real busy dealing with vendors and stuff for the wedding and on Etsy and doing my little thing. And so my phone's always just kind of in my hand, and I'm checking if, you know, this person checked me back or if the cake topper's in, whatever. Always. And we had the little one this weekend, and Andy was checking something on his phone, and I had been on my phone all morning. And we get in the car, and the little one's in the back in the booster seat. Andy starts to drive, and I'm still on my phone. And he said, all adults have to put their phones down for 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. And that, like, got me, like, right in the chest.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, my God. Big target. Big feelings.
Are you you're dealing with the vendors?
Oh, yeah. So many vendors.
That price flexibility with some of those? I mean, do you try to you them down?
Here's the thing.
Say here's the word, thing. But
I didn't
people
get,
can do the math.
I didn't get that
turn
gene.
Up.
I didn't get that gene. If anything, I go up because I don't want to be made uncomfortable.
Ah.
I've dipped a toe into some flexibility, and I've been shut down so hard that I can't even. I'm too ashamed. I think the only break I've gotten is the videographer, but it's because I'm only asking him to be there half the time. So can we please pay almost half the price? Like that's as far as
once
I've
every like 7 years, it's someone else's prompting, and they go, "All right, you're dealing with the garage door company, right?
Yeah.
All right." So they got the garage door for your unit, but what if we do the neighbor's unit? They'll give you a break on two garage doors. After they give you a break, if you do two garage doors, and then you go, how much is the garage door? And I go, $3,500. And then you go, how much if I got the neighbor's unit to do two? You guys could install two. And they're like, $7,000. And I'm like, okay, I'll never try this again. I tried it. I didn't want to do it. I'm sorry. I tried it once. I'll never do it again.
That's exactly right. And do you know how clogged my Facebook timeline is? I have a free meal kit from this person. I have a free because they think they're going to get something. But it's just everybody's trying so hard to get something for free that they're doing so much extra work. I don't have the bandwidth for it.
Agreed.
Yeah, the wedding industry, I mean, remember, I was planning a wedding too. Like, I remember I was talking to Nate over at Chass, and he said, when I was talking about venues, he said, I would rather tell them that I'm filming a Hollywood commercial there than having a wedding there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're never supposed to tell them it's for a wedding, for makeup or hair or anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when you get gouged.
They know that you'll pay,
interesting.
You'll pay any price.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go into some apologies that happened recently. Yeah, we'll get into some apologies. First off, let's go to the WNBA.
Uh-oh.
Connecticut Sun general manager and coach Kurt Miller. He was fined $10,000 and will be suspended one game for a comment he made about Las Vegas Aces star Liz Cambage on Sunday. So Cambage posted a video saying that Miller, the Connecticut coach, tried to get a referee to call a foul in his favor by mentioning Liz's weight. So according to Liz, she said that Miller said to the ref
something. I saw this on ESPN last night.
Yeah.
So who ratted him out?
Do you have a mic on?
Did she overhear it, or did the ref rat her out?
Well, this is all according to Liz, so I imagine Liz heard it and complained.
Okay.
So
what happened?
So Liz said that Miller remarked to the ref something along the lines of, "Come on, she's 300 pounds."
Yeah, it was basically she was like, and she's basically what they used to do it with Shaq all the time. Like, you can't call a foul on so and so. He just backed him in. Like, what do you want him to do?
Happens in the NBA all the time.
Nonstop.
By the way, Brian, if that plays at the end of my news segment, I will never come back.
Really?
She was pissed. I don't know. First off, coaches got to yell shit out like all the time in the sort of course of the whatever. And he was basically saying she's a big girl,
right?
Which she is.
She's I have a video of her.
Oh, yeah, we have her.
Yeah, let's hear how big she is. She'll say it.
But something went down in today's game, and I need to speak on it because if there's one thing about me is that I will never let a man disrespect me. Ever, ugh, ever.
She
especially
sounds like
a little
fucking delight.
She's Australian.
So to the coach of Connecticut.
What'd she say? What'd she say?
Especially a little white one?
Yeah.
Let's hear it again. I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Yuck. I hate her. I didn't
disrespect
say
that. Me. Ever! Ever. Ever. Especially a little white one. But to the coach of Connecticut, I'm sorry, little sir man. I do not know your name. But the next time you tried to call out a referee, you know, trying to get a call, being like, come on, she's 300 pounds. I'm going to need you to get right, baby. Because I'm 6'8". Mm-hmm. I'm weighing, I just double checked, because I love to be correct and get facts. I'm weighing 235 pounds, and I'm very proud of being a big bitch. Body, big Ben's
the
baby.
The bitch part, right.
So don't ever try to disrespect me or another woman in the league. I don't know if that's how, like, coaches run. Like, you just disrespect, you try to disrespect women like that from the sideline.
Shut the
Are you
fuck
so
up.
Lucky?
All right, first off, why
is
she bringing fucking race in? By the way, you can't disrespect a giant person who's angry like this person. You'll get your ass kicked. He was a coach. He's trying to make a point. He's not trying to disrespect
he's
you.
Trying
he's trying to
get
a call.
Yeah.
All right, she should shut up.
Why is their emblem McDonald's?
She probably played in the McDonald's like high school all-star team or something like that.
Yeah, so about her, she currently holds the WNBA single game scoring record.
Really?
Yeah, 53 points. And then here's the coach's apology. Quote, I made an inappropriate and offensive comment in reference to Liz Cambage's height and weight. I regret what I said in the heat of the moment and want to sincerely apologize to Liz and the entire Aces organization. I understand the gravity of my words and I've learned from this.
Well, or he's going to the cornfield.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. She should shut the fuck up. Yeah. That's my feeling.
While we're talking about basketball, though, did you see the LeBron thing over the weekend?
I heard a little bit, but I didn't see anything. I was
so
Sonny won 6 of his 8 parlay games.
Oh,
by the way,
better.
You know what that's called? A loser.
That's what I said.
True.
Lost first one. Yeah.
Yeah. If he was the first one. Oh yeah. So LeBron was caught at like a tequila event, mm-hmm. and you're not. And it's right before playoffs. You're not supposed to go to any events before while you're still playing, because you got quarantine. And the NBA is under a lot of flack right now because they're not suspending him. They're not doing
King James.
Like, oh, is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it the power of LeBron, or is it because maybe everyone's COVID restrictions are getting lighter? But NBA has been known to like really be strict about it.
Mm-hmm. They had the whole bubble and everything.
Yeah, so it's kind of a weird story over the
weekend.
There's
no scenario where they'll suspend LeBron.
Especially during the playoffs.
No, of course not.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Let's move on to Fast 9, Adam.
Mm. Oh, I just saw a trailer for this.
Mm.
Well, China's seen a lot more than a trailer. It is out.
Damn it.
Really?
It is out in
Live
South
show.
Korea.
Wait, is that like to be downloaded like illegally?
Oh, no, no. They released it.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, so I
would watch that shit at a wet market in Wuhan. That's how fucking jonesing I am.
Raves.
I got Fast 9 blue balls because they dangled it out in front of me a year ago and they pulled it back.
Live show in China.
Let's do it. So, yeah, it made a $162.4 million box office earning and $135.6 million from China alone. And, so it debuted in South Korea, Russia, Hong Kong, the Middle East.
It's not coming out for a month or so.
Over a month.
It's coming out in June 25th here.
So exactly a month from now.
So that's our big summer blockbuster, and that's why they got it first? Why did they get it first?
I have no idea. But you know what? I wonder if it's because restrictions are more lifted over in those countries.
Right.
I don't think... Well, who knows?
If you're Sony or whoever's releasing, I think it's Sony.
But I think they know what they're doing, Brian.
That's what I'm saying. You want to strike when the iron's hot, and the iron's going to be hottest when all the restrictions are lifted.
I mean... Yeah, there's the bottom line, I think, if you really think about it, if you make movies or you make blue jeans or whatever the fuck it is you make, or you're, running big tech or whatever it is, we got 330 million people and they got 1.5 billion people. So we used to not care because they all had a completely different culture than us, and good luck selling whatever Danny Kaye movie from the 60s.
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
In China. It's just, who cares,
Yeah.
Well, they figured it out. Right. If they want to watch all that shit and they got a lot more people than we've got, then
we'll cater.
We shall cater.
Turns out jumping cars from building to building translates pretty well.
Pretty well.
Yeah, but it's just weird. Like living in this digital age, too. Releasing a movie a month early on the other side of the world could get here in 20 seconds. If someone had an iPhone or something, so...
They don't have any technology over there.
Yeah, true. Well,
I don't like the precedent of it. I don't like us busting our hump on a franchise like that and giving them... I could give them the weekend before or the Wednesday early preview, but a full month and change.
So the aforementioned Star Wars, that's funny you mentioned that, because there was, for eons, these big movies would come out in the U.S. and then gradually come out overseas, and there was a big Star Wars nerd thing where it was like, one movie, one release, one day, like they wanted to all release on the same day. And of course, Lucasfilm said, fuck yourselves. Mm-hmm. But for the longest time, the U.S. got it first. And this is a little bit backwards.
Yeah, we're like the second rate dollar theater.
Yeah, that's right.
the
bargain.
Sad.
Movies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, John Cena was doing a lot of promo for the release in China. And he had to apologize because he made a comment saying that Taiwan is, quote, the first country that can watch Fast 9.
How dare he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Taiwan is not a country. It is considered by Beijing as a territory claimed by the People's Republic of China. So
He had all the things he's getting in trouble for.
Yeah, he got in trouble. And here, we'll post the video. Ken will put the video here. He had to apologize. And he apologized in Mandarin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, let's watch this. And I'll translate
oh,
over
good.
It.
Oh, Chris.
There's subtitles.
Hello,
China. This is John Cena. There's something I have to clarify. So I've done a lot of interviews for F9. In one of the interviews, I made a mistake.
Does he speak Mandarin?
Sounds like
he
does. Very good.
Everyone asked me if I could use Chinese to explain it.
There you go.
The F9 crew has given me a lot of information. There were a lot of interviews and information. And I made a mistake. I have to say this right now. And it's
finna
very
turn
important.
Up.
Very, 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 very sorry.
I love and respect China and the Chinese people.
Oh, boy.
I'm very, very sorry about my mistake.
This stuff feels Orwellian to me.
Yeah!
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I sincerely apologize. You must
here we go.
Must understand that. I really love and respect China and the China people.
Is China people offensive?
Yeah. It should be.
I'm sorry. Bye. That was impressive, though.
Yeah.
Fucking impressive. Yeah. Now, he needs to apologize to me and Bill Simmons for the Marine. Mm. Because we were the only two people in that theater, and that movie sucked.
What about the young girl who left 10 minutes in?
Yeah, that hottie. All right, we're getting some scary territory here, people. Yeah. We're all just fucking doing the bidding of China because they have money, and we all have to apologize. This is mark the time. Everybody, I was yelling about it a year and a half ago or whatever when LeBron James was yelling at the guy for, I don't know, he stands with Hong Kong or something. No, he stood with...
Daryl Morey?
Yeah. No, the...
The Rockets.
The Rockets. The Rockets. Yeah. Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
I think it was Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
Probably was. Sorry. Yeah. That was the beginning. Now we're in.
It's still
we're
going.
We're in. So, apologize to your new masters, everybody.
Well, if you want some more Orwellian conspiracies here, Mark Ruffalo released an apology today.
Really?
Yeah. He's He commented, so it's unclear exactly what post he was apologizing for, but he suggested earlier this month that Israel's actions were compared to apartheid in South Africa and that sanctions could similarly work against Israel. And basically, he kind of alluded to it being a genocide.
So if America does to Israel what they did to South Africa, it would get Israel to change is what he's saying.
Yeah. So he tweeted... I have reflected and wanted to apologize for posts during the recent Israel-Hamas fighting that suggested Israel is committing genocide. It's not accurate, it's inflammatory, disrespectful, and it's being used to justify anti-Semitism here and abroad. Now is the time to avoid hyperbole. We finna turn up.
So we're in
time. Yeah, everyone is now just thinking, this is Disney. Like, I mean, this is all conspiracy, but everyone's saying that Disney's having him do it.
That's an interesting apology, though, because it generally goes the other way. You know, you generally don't get any points for standing up for Israel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it was I think the apartheid thing is some people have been calling it apartheid and it's offending the well, first off, co-opting either the Holocaust or apartheid is a little third raily and then our new world order. So also we're so Black Lives Matter centric that if you appropriate some atrocity, you know, if you say this is akin to modern day slavery or something like that, everyone gets super agitated.
Sure. Right.
Now, so I think that's probably it. But who the fuck cares what Mark Ruffalo says? I don't
Disney.
Get.
I do because I read a lot of the blah 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 games. I care very much.
That's true.
We need him to keep talking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's move away from the apologies now, and let's do a little palate cleanser with a new band that came out over the weekend, the Linda Lindas.
We're covering band formations.
Well, they went viral. So they are a group
of girls.
Are
they the
girls.
Little girls in the library?
That's right.
Are they better than the 1-800 Cars for Kids?
I secretly love that band. I'm serious. I secretly love that song,
Brian.
I'm serious.
I'm talking about the band.
1-877 Cars for Kids. Warriors, cause we get that one.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they got that.
Dawson had to take his earphones.
Those kids in the commercial, they ain't playing that.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
I got news
for you. Tinfoil hat.
Yeah, I got news for you. Those guitars are not plugged in.
What about the violin?
You know what this is? This is exactly like when Dr. Drew told me that the pool for the Love Boat was on a soundstage.
Yeah.
And I said, fuck, heresy. No fucking way. I've seen that show 1,000 times. That's filmed on that boat. And then he showed me a wide picture of like a cyclorama in the distance. I was like, fuck. Fucking ruined it for me now. And you just ruined the Cars for Kids band.
I did. Well, another note on that to ruin it even more, in the casting session, they specifically cast, they needed 5 children with no soul.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that.
And they got them.
Just say white kids.
Yes. You are getting in some very treacherous waters here, to quote the Love Boat captain.
A little chop.
I fucking love those commercials.
You do not.
Oh, I do.
You guys were replaced.
They replaced the band, Adam. I don't know if you noticed.
Oh yeah, it's like Menudo. They age out. Sorry, we'll play.
Oh my god!
Tell me they're not playing.
A pox upon all of you. Look at the keyboard kid.
The guy's got what? Dawson, what would he need an amp for if he wasn't playing?
There's some crazy jazz chords.
This is the original band.
Yeah.
Donate online at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll get a vacation voucher and
okay, so it's plugged in, but yeah, but still.
This is even the most rockin' version.
They rip.
There's a new one.
All right, so you
got today. You
sing the Linda band is better than this.
Oh,
they're pretty good.
They're different. Yeah, they're different.
So this video. So they performed at the library a couple weeks ago, but then the library posted just one of their songs, just separate, on their YouTube, and this thing just went viral over the weekend.
It did.
Here we go. This is their
song.
The little
girl's in a bikini kills t-shirt.
A boy in my class came up to me and said that his dad told him to stay away from Chinese people. After I told him that I was Chinese, he backed away from me. Eloise and I wrote the song based on that experience.
So this is about him and all the other racist, sexist boys in this world. 1, 2, 3, 4!
They're not playing their instruments.
The hell they're not.
But the Cars for Kids.
Yeah.
Wait, they got a round eye playing rhythm?
Half Latinx, half Asian.
Oh, I gotta check her papers.
3/4 Asian.
Yeah.
Max Zapata. I don't know if I like the Asians coming out of their shell. You know what I mean? I kind
of
like them where they were.
Of course,
you know,
they're in the library.
Yeah. Of course,
I love this. They're great. And they just got signed to Epitaph.
What?
Yeah, so the Epitaph, they're owned by Bad Religion. They like did all the punk bands growing up. Offspring, Pennywise.
That's great. What are they, 13?
Ages 10 to 16. They're two sisters, a cousin, and a close friend.
Mm.
And yeah, so that song has been viewed millions of times over the weekend.
Let me guess, Orange County?
I think LA, actually. I'm not sure where they're from.
Shocking.
Long Beach.
Yeah, could be.
Seal Beach.
Yeah. Yeah, there.
Now, we got to... But the kid... So, it was based on the kid saying, my dad said, stay away from you.
Yeah.
Because of, like, coronavirus or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, now, that kid has got to start a country band and rebut this song.
Right, there's gotta be
lying Asians.
Oh, there's gonna be a Leonard Skinner.
Never happened. Yeah, yeah.
A Leonard Skinner and Neil Young situation.
Yes,
that's
right. Yes. Southern man.
Right?
That's right.
It's good.
Start a country band. Nugent will produce, and then you rebut these lies being told about you.
Smart.
Yeah, I miss those. You get the diss tracks out early.
That's right.
Yeah.
Get ahead of the shit.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, I love them. I know it's kind of the lyrics might be a little alarming for girls that age.
If they're LA local, can we book these girls on the show?
Yeah, actually, I know her dad, like one of the
what?
Guys. Yeah.
Of course.
So.
Oh my god!
I can see.
All right, let's do one more because Hugh's here.
All right, Oh, here, let's do this one just because it's kind of fun. So there's a couple days ago, Radio Shack was trending.
That's right.
Which is kind of weird, but it was because of this picture that went up.
Adam and I both commented on this.
Yeah, it's 1987. Which one do you go to? And it's a picture of a Chatsworth Mall marquee for the Valleyplex 4 movie theater.
Yeah, Chatsworth probably 15 miles west, southwest, west, or east, northwest or something. I hear.
Yeah, northwest, I think.
A lot of porn there,
northwest.
Right?
Northwest. Yeah, I used to work out there.
Nice.
Well, the marquee says there are four movies playing at the time. One, The Lost Boys, then RoboCop, then Predator, and lastly, Full Metal Jacket. Which one do you go to? And I saw Brian's tweet.
What was Brian's
tweet? Do we have
it's
yes.
Right here.
I'll read it. Yeah. I believe it's 100%. The Lost Boys is a distant fourth place.
Agreed.
In fact, I'd rather watch RoboCop 5 times, Predator 8 times, and Full Metal Jacket 3 times before I watch The Lost Boys once. Lost Boys isn't a bad movie. It's just whatever, and schlocky bullshit. The other three movies are really good movies.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I saw them all. I liked them all. I think I said I'd watch the first hour of Full Metal Jacket and then sneak in and watch Predator.
That's fair. That's good.
Yeah, I did that. I did that when I was watching The Devil's Rejects. I couldn't take it. It was just
Rob Zombie.
Yeah. I didn't like it. It's not my kind of movie. So my friends were watching. And I left to watch the movie The Island. With Scarlett Johansson.
Oh. Out of the frying pan, into the fire.
Well, it sucked even more because after I get out of The Island, my friends get out of The Devil's Rejects and they go, Chris, come on, we're sneaking in to watch The Island.
No.
So I watched The Island twice, back to back.
Yeah, the UA in North Hollywood is like the first multiplex that came to the San Fernando Valley, or at least that we could get to. And there's a lot of commingling. You'd go in and watch one movie and then get out and try to watch the other and stubs, and you'd show up halfway into whatever the movie was. That I don't it's kind of weird. Like, I grew up with a strong emphasis on the scrounge. A lot of scrounging. Worked at McDonald's. Throw away these Filet-O-Fish. Okay, I'll do it. I'll stand by the dumpster. I'll try to hide them in the arm. You know, the sleeve of the dumpster. Yeah. Like, I'll shove them in there and I'll grab them later.
Oh, wow.
You know, we'll have a pie eating contest
inside
at school.
Man.
I'll take the pie in my hands and run home. No tin. Holding a fucking apple pie in my hands is bleeding through my fingers. I'll run at everyone's house. You know, everything was like.
Foraging.
It's like scrounging. Like, oh, Chris's older brother, Mike, he's got a Honda scooter, and you just stand in the driveway. Like, Mike, could I try the scooter? No. Mike, come on, let me just... No. Mike, you could watch me just go down the street and then turn around. No. Come on, Mike. Come on, Mike. It was just begging for everything all the time. Could I have a bite of this? Mm-hmm. Are you going to finish that? Could I have... When my buddy Alex Arado came on the show, he was like telling us all about the Webby's chocolate chip Danish his mom would get. We'd go into Alex's. I was like, where's the Danish? Where's the Danish?
You know, I'm actually surprised. I know it's not as common, at least in the we don't think it's as common for men, but I'm surprised you didn't get an eating disorder.
Once there wasn't enough food.
Once you had access to food.
Because
in your mind, it's in constant scarcity.
I do have my own version. We would break into the mall hall and club
that
at night. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
It was executed today. So I spent my whole life running around, like trying to get stuff off of people. I had a friend, his dad would bring home Chinese food, and if it sat in the fridge for more than 4 days, then I could eat it because that meant he was done with it, you know, and I'd like reanimate it in the microwave, sprinkling water on it. It was like, yeah, my dad's not going to eat that tofu or tofurkey or, oh God, sweet and sour pork anymore. I'm like, okay, I can bring this rice back to life.
Yeah.
It's alive. It was all the scrounging, bumming rides, bumming food, like everything. I realized, and you go to the movie theater, you wouldn't just go to the movie theater to sneak in candy and then try to figure out how to get into other movies in the whatever. Yeah. And like, I drove Natalia into school this morning, and she was like, can we stop by the Starbucks on the way in? I'm like, okay, stop by the Starbucks. I give her $20. She comes back. First off, My kids don't even remember change. It's like, do you have the change? Oh, yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Oh, here it is. Like, here's your $14 back or whatever. It's like, change. And then she gets her breakfast, whatever. Breakfast English muffin with the whatever cheese and the Baconator or whatever. And, like, I'm dropping her off at school, and she's like, I'm done. And I'm like, there's still, like, three bites. I'm like, give me that shit, you know, and I'd throw it in my mouth. But it's like, that's where the insecurity comes in. But just realize, you can say it's about money, but it's more of an ethos.
Yeah.
Like, we were scroungers. Mm-hmm. We didn't have money, but we didn't need to scrounge like we scrounged. We scrounged everything all the time.
Yeah, growing up for when we would go to movie theaters, the way we got food was either you would look in every trash for an XL popcorn bucket, because those ones get free refills.
Oh,
right.
So we would do that.
A valuable commodity.
And if we didn't find any, what I would do is I would just get the relish packets, and I would just go ham on the, like, just sucking down relish packets, like 20 of them.
Plastic and all?
Right.
Go to Henry's Tacos and get busted hard shell taco shells and hot sauce and water and just sit and eat it at Henry's Tacos. Like, that's just going to be confusing to my kids. I have no fucking idea.
Punishment.
Yeah. All right. Let's bring it home, Max Zapata.
All right. That was trending topic.
Max Zapata. His real name's Laxamana.
I think scrounging has gone the way of the dodo.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine there's still scrounging going on somewhere in the world.
Somewhere in the world, maybe not in the U.S. Yeah. We did a lot of dumpster diving, not for food, but for, like, bike parts and stuff. Like, go to the Schwinn and Schwinn shop and
really?
Studio City or on Laurel
most
Canyon.
Most of the time, you were looking for discarded porno mags.
Well, yeah, not at the Schwinn shop, but
just that's what we did.
Stuff. Discards a porno mag. True,
They were out there.
You reminded me one time I snuck my high school friends and I snuck beers into a movie. What happened was we had a friend on the inside. He paid for his ticket and he let the door open on the external door, the emergency exit. And we all came in with our six packs of beers. Like an idiot, we brought glass bottles, and of course we drank our beers.
They roll.
We knocked one over, and it rolled for what felt like 5 minutes.
Yep. Yes. It never stopped.
All the way to the bottom. It's brutal. It was like a Friday night packed theater.
When I got busted for throwing water balloons at that guy in the Honda on top of the 7-Eleven, we had a dude whose older brother worked at that 7-Eleven, and he would just kind of look the other way while we shoplifted candy bars.
As he should.
Sacks of Funyuns and shit. Ugh, weird. Weird.
We're done.
All right. Let me tell you about All Birds, the tree runner made from sustainable natural materials that feel light on your feet and better for the planet. Breathable, machine washable with a simple, versatile design. A perfect shoe for any outfit. Gina, you may want to comment that
I'm actually wearing mine. Let me
as we speak.
Those are very nice and a nice deep cobalt blue.
Been walking around in these bad boys. They feel like they're made of air. Made from responsibly sourced eucalyptus tree fibers and sugarcane-based sweet foam midsoles. And they're made with First Carbon. They're the first carbon negative resin. So good for the environment, good for your tootsies as well. Even the packing is made from a 100% recycled 90% recycled cardboard. The Tree Runner is carbon neutral this spring. Keep things light and breezy with the All Birds Tree Runner. Discover your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's ALLBIRDS. .com. Legendary SNL writer Hugh Fink is going to join us right after this.